Family is the theme today as we welcome you to another story-filled episode of Musings on Golf. Hello, everyone. Kelly Elbin here, along with our executive producer, Jenna Self. Family certainly applies to our special guest today, Cooper Manning, the eldest of the Manning boys. I think you know his two younger brothers, Peyton and Eli, and his father, Archie, and Cooper's son, Arch, who is the quarterback at the University of Texas. We have a lot that we covered with Peyton. You're really going to enjoy that interview. Family for Scottie Scheffler. Once again, with his wife and his son by his side, as Scottie Scheffler celebrated his win at the American Express on Sunday, making him the third fastest to get to 20 PGA Tour victories. Family also applies almost to 18-year-old Blades Brown, who put on quite a show last week as he crisscrossed the country and tried to join the family of winners on the PGA Tour. Kind of ran out of gas on Sunday, but what a story Blades Brown was and promises to be. And then very, very interesting, and you heard a lot if you listened to Brooks Koepka's press conference earlier today, Tuesday, the 27th of January, talked a lot about his family and the influence of family as he is being reunited with his PGA Tour family starting on Thursday when ESPN gets back in the in showing regular, if you will, PGA Tour events for the first time in a long time, with the lead group for them being the five-time major champion, Koepka, who is going to hit his first PGA Tour shot since he's really been welcomed back with pretty much open arms after his abbreviated stay, I guess we could say, on LIV Golf. Cooper Manning, I'll set this up quickly. Busy guy. He may, as I said, maybe the least known of the three Manning brothers because, you know, he didn't quarterback his teams to Super Bowl titles. But Cooper's a busy guy. He is. He hosts the Manning Hour. It's a fun segment that he does on Fox Sports NFL pregame shows. He's now part of a threesome with a show called We Need a Fourth on Sirius XM, along with two other individuals who I think you will recognize for very different reasons. You're going to enjoy this interview, as I said, with Cooper. Funny guy, a lot of dry humor, and glad we were able to spend time with him after the interview with Cooper Manning. We'll hear from both Scottie Scheffler and Brooks Koepka. And we'll talk a little bit about a gentleman who passed away last week, who was a tremendous force both on the football field and on the golf course. You'll hear all of that after you hear from our three corporate partners, William & Harry, Titleist, and the Friars Golf Club. Our friends at William & Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William & Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
Your most important shot is the one you're about to hit. And whether it's the first drive of the day, a difficult approach from a tight lie, or a bunker shot to save par, you need to know your golf ball will perform exactly the way you need it to. Superior performance on every type of shot. It's why the majority of the world's best players choose the Pro V1 or Pro V1X, and why you should too.
Is your golf life stuck in a bunker of country club hassles? Tired of the wait lists and the six-figure initiation fees? Well, at the Friars Golf Club, we take care of all of the hard work, planning exclusive trips and unforgettable rounds on top-rated courses, so all you have to do is show up, have fun, and make lifelong friendships on the first tee, the 19th hole, and far beyond. Our terrific 2026 lineup includes international destinations like Dubai and Scandinavia, plus top domestic resorts such as Sand Valley and Black Desert, and access to some great private clubs. Join the Friars Golf Club today. Email us at info@thefriars.com, the word musings in the subject line, to receive a $500 trip credit when you join. We invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience with the Friars Golf Club. He is the eldest son of a family synonymous with football royalty. For my special guest today, while fate prevented him from achieving fame on the field, his engaging personality has led him to many humorous outlets, including a brand new golf podcast with some very recognizable friends. He's also the father of a young man who carries on the family name at quarterback, and he's a proud alum of a school that came tantalizingly close to earning a spot in the college football playoff championship game. Man, do we ever have a lot to discuss with Cooper Manning here on Musings on Golf. Coop, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I really appreciate you having me. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, man. And as we record this, we're a couple days removed from the what it was another in a long series of dramatic college football playoff games for 2025 season into 2026 with Fernando Mendoza and Indiana. I mean, the maybe the ultimate of underdog stories, Coop. How do you even put that into words?
Yeah, I've been trying to kind of figure this out. I said, so you know, people were asking me real in-depth questions like, how did this really happen? And I go, I need to do some more work on this. I need to, you know, really dig in on every single player and figure out what's their journey, because how Coach Cignetti got, you know, it seems like, you know, there are probably a lot of guys that probably went through similar obstacles and, you know, under-recruited, similar to Fernando. I mean, but it's, how neat is that, that a guy, you know, behind the scenes is just gets one offer. We had him in our football camp. We have, you know, a football camp down in Thibodaux, Louisiana every year, 30 years, the Manning Passing Academy, which my dad and brothers and run, and we've got 1,400 campers. But we had him as a counselor 2 years ago. And, you know, I'm like, you're from Miami. How'd you end up at Cal? He goes, one offer. I'm like, sometimes you just go where, you know, where you can go. But man, what a phenomenal year, season. What a neat individual. And it seems like that whole team has kind of adopted his personality.
Yeah, and he does indeed seem like the whole package. And Cooper, he's a college kid, but man, he makes the NFL throws. I mean, that kid just makes seemingly all the throws. And you know that well, having caught a lot of balls from your brother. Can you speak a little bit to, is this the kid kind of, will he step right in to be able to play right away in the NFL?
Well, he has the luxury of having a really good, older, experienced offensive line, and they run the ball. They run the ball hard. Those running backs are running downhill. I saw at one point, you know, in two games, he had thrown, you know, more touchdowns than incompletions. And so, I mean, you know, going 17 for 22 is a great way to win a lot of football games, you know, not having to go, you know, throw it 50 times. So that's a luxury that he probably will not have when you get drafted by those teams that have the first picks. You know, usually you're walking into a kind of a problematic situation. So you have to kind of be patient. And, you know, the NFL is hard and it's getting harder. And obviously they throw quarterbacks into a spot where they're, you know, kind of set up to fail and see how they do and see if they can and build around it. But that's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, I know, you know, Peyton and Eli both went to teams that, you know, when you're first year, Eli Peyton went 3-13. Next year, they kind of got it together and went 13-3. So it can turn in a hurry, but usually that first year is going to be pretty, a lot of bumps and bruises.
Much like your dad and your brother Eli, you are a very proud grad of Ole Miss. And I know that it was so close to getting there. I wonder, in watching that championship game with Miami, the team that knocked the Rebels out, and everything that went on with the craziness of the Lane Kiffin situation, taking the job at LSU, what was that like as a fan? I'm just wondering, as a fan going through those few weeks where it should have been a time of real celebration, but it was also seemingly, Cooper, a lot of chaos.
You know, it's funny, there a lot of people are talking about how you know, the story of Indiana is going to be a great movie. That story with Ole Miss is going to be a great, you know, reality show, because that's what it was. It was too much drama, too many people. You know, it was just, it was a challenging time for a lot of people, because, you know, it's funny how we're all loyal to a university. And then all of a sudden when someone and their coach, and then all of a sudden when the coach doesn't like you anymore, you know, you turn on them immediately. So it was challenging. I think Ole Miss got the right guy. And I'm a big Pete Golding fan. Pete recruited Arch when he was the defensive coordinator at Alabama. So we got to really know him and spend a lot of time. He's a Louisiana guy and grew up in Hammond and played in Mississippi in a small school. So really love his personality. I think the team, but going through that and having coaches back and forth and trying to game plan, I mean, what a mess. I thought he handled it brilliantly. I thought the athletic director, Keith Carter, handled everything brilliantly. And now, you know, the coach that everybody was excited to have is now on the arch enemy. So yeah. I don't know. I really going to be anxious to see what that game is going to be like when LSU goes to Oxford next year. There's some people who do not care for Lane, and I'm not sure Lane cares, to be honest with you.
I get that sense as well. Yeah, exactly. Wait, did you? I imagine you went to all three of the CFP games that your alma mater played in.
You know, I didn't get to, well. You know, again, I'm going to these Texas games, so my
that's
you know,
true.
Crazy how you know you love a team, and all of a sudden next year, you know, Ole Miss comes to Austin, and you got to be pulling against them because that happened with us. It's a strange time as you get older, and you're fortunate enough to have siblings and people play for different teams. You know, I grew up a Saints fan, and all of a sudden, Peyton's a Colt fan, you know, goes to the Colts. I'm a Colt fan. And then I'm a Giants fan. And then I'm a Broncos fan. And it doesn't really matter who they're playing. And then here I'm a Texas fan. So your loyalty tends to go with, as you get older, it's with people that you care about, love, and like. So I may, you know, I always, you know, like the Giants, and I pull for the Colts, and I pull for the Broncos, but I also pull for people. And you know, when you get to know coaches, even if they're coaching a team that you know grew up not liking. I love Matt Ryan. I grew up not liking the Falcons. I'll pull for Matt Ryan. I mean, he's a great guy. I want him to do well. So you're fortunate enough to know people. That's kind of where your allegiance starts to you know wave toward good folks.
And no question about it. You mentioned your son Arch. He will return to the Longhorns next year. In this coming season, 2026.
Yeah.
Coop, it really was kind of a roller coaster season for your son. It was a tough start at Ohio State.
Right.
Things certainly improved. You had that setback when they played the Gators, but really it seemed to improve. I'm wondering from your standpoint, both as a dad and also someone who knows the game really well, what does your son need to do better as the Longhorns quarterback in 2026 to kind of that then happened in 25 to put himself back in sort of that picture from a high draft standpoint in the NFL?
Well, I think it was fun. I think playing games is really hard to replicate. Getting experience in tough situations on the road, that's great for you. You know, I think, you know, Bo Nix is a guy who's playing in the NFL. Now, he played 62 college games. That's a terrific advantage for anybody to play that many games. And Eli was talking today, goes, you know how good of a player I would be if I was 24 playing in college? I go, yeah. So, you know, growing up and playing and having those experiences is good. I think Arch got better every single week. He really did. I mean, he was playing his best football toward the end of the season. And that's why, you know, the hype, they'll hype it up this year and he'll have a mess and they'll go get him. They'll hate him again, and then they'll love him. It's just, you know, it's part of the deal to sell, you know, advertising. It's big business, but I think his confidence grew. His the coaches, they got more confident in what he could do, and then those two things combining is great. So they got some new faces. Welcome to college football. You know, it's not the same old guys anymore. That's just the way we are. And so he's got some new guys to kind of get familiar with and become friends with and get on the same page with. And it's, you know, it's hard in the SEC. So, you know, he's looking forward to it. He loves college and college football is still going on those Saturdays and Saturday nights anywhere across the country is the best.
That's still the coolest thing, right? Particularly if you grew up with that, if that's part of your DNA, there, it can't be anything better.
I love those days. You know, the worst part about going to college games, which we went to every single game, is you don't get to watch a whole lot of football that day. Like, I really love a day where I just, you know, I go get a fried shrimp po' boy at Dom Elise's in New Orleans, and I'm, you know, at 11 o'clock, my day is kind of set. I mean, I may move rooms and have people come over or go somewhere to watch a certain game, but I love a day when you can just watch from 11 to 11. When you go to a game now, you're kind of stuck going early, get there, the whole thing, and then after, you wait in the locker room. I mean, you miss a lot of stuff. So that night, I'm like scrambling, trying to find out who played well at 12:30 and watching reruns. So, but I do love the bands. I love the cheerleaders. I love the students. I love people waiting in line. I love, you know, the opposing team coming in and trying to read. And we had a great experience this year going on the road. I mean, I'd never been to a game at Starkville. They were wonderful. People were great. Went to Lexington. We went to Keeneland, went to the races that day, went to a game that night, even down to the Swamp. I mean, I said I would never go back there ever again after they beat Tennessee when Peyton was there. And we went down there. They beat us again, but they're pretty nice. I love Athens, Georgia. Going there, you know, I'm with great friends with Kirby and his wife. And I love that town and the pageantry. And you don't win them all, but it's the best. And I'm looking forward to, you know, it's hard to say, I'm looking forward to going to play LSU at LSU next year, because that's kind of hard to do because there's such a wonderful environment. You'd like to be just a UPS man watching, not be the father of the opposing quarterback, but I'm going to do it. So here we go.
Cooper Manning joining us here on Musings on Golf. And Coop, when you aren't with your son week in and week out during the season, or when you aren't following your Ole Miss Rebels, you're having a blast with a brand new podcast.
Yeah.
We need a fourth. Now, Cooper Manning, how in the world did you hook up? So you're with former ESPN anchor Kenny Mayne, and then the love of who seems like a terrific guy, Brian Baumgartner, who played Kevin Malone on The Office all those years. You guys are on, what, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. How did this come to be?
We're everywhere. Yeah. It always comes to be. All my good relationships seem to always be, I played golf with a guy, and I went on a golf trip with Will Arnett, who, you know, is the principal at Smartless and a talented actor and a funny guy, and we just hit it off. I mean, you know, you're lucky enough at times to meet someone who you kind of have a little bit of their button, like their funny bone. Like, I just kind of have a little bit of a something with it that I could make him laugh, and he liked me. And when I feel that, I'm going to keep pressing. And I had a good night. It was kind of my A material. And he came away going, we need to do something together. I mean, dear goodness. And I'm like, hey, I'm up for it. And so I think they had been looking around to do something in golf, and then had Kenny. I knew Kenny from a long time ago, just ESPN funny. I'd never met Brian, and it was a brilliant idea. They said, we're going to get y'all to know each other. We're sending you over to Scotland, the old course. Y'all going to play golf and hang out and get to know each other and see if this thing has a little chemistry. And we did a couple shows over there. And I mean, just instant, like, it was like we all went to third grade together. Kenny's fun to give grief to. He's so irreverent and weird and peculiar and says things so out of left field, and I love it. He has my funny bone. Like, he makes me laugh hard. And then Brian is just like my brother that I never met. I mean, he's funny and kind and competitive and nasty on the golf course. He loves the money. He will kill you for $5. You know, he'll talk in your backswing when you're in the bunker and loves to, you know, rub it in after he wins. And I loved all that. And we've had more fun doing this show. I think we all like not having to be the guy. It's like, sometimes, you know, Brian's a guy, Kenny can run the show, I'll take it. And sometimes it's great being in the background and just kind of laughing and popping in. So we are having a lot of fun doing it. From what I understand, it's doing quite well, you know? So got a lot of neat sponsors that seem to be, enjoying it. And so we're getting great guests. I was texting Joe Buck yesterday, congratulating him as an Indiana alum, you know, great day to be a Hoosier. And he goes, I'm on your podcast next week. And I said, well, you know, we'll see if you show.
But you're right. It is it's a cool feeling when you're with a group of guys. In this case, it happens to be guys you're doing a podcast with. But Cooper, anytime you're with people and there's that instant click, you know it works. It's just the camaraderie and the fun of it, right?
I think the best way to describe it is I can say anything to those guys and I never worry about hurting their feelings.
Yeah.
If I do hurt their feelings, then I know it was pretty funny because they don't, you know, no one's getting rattled. No one cares. They like the other person will laugh even harder if it is, you know, insensitive. And that's kind of the way we go. And it's great. We all laugh at each other. We all know we're a bunch of, you know, jackasses and, you know, we're in a club together. So come on in and be our fourth. You're more than welcome. You're invited to be our fourth, Kelly. Come play with us. Come.
I would be honored to. So I reached out to you before the interview. You got back to me, told me your index is 11.6. You play about 30 rounds a year. Your best score is 77. So yeah. Cooper Manning, I'm wondering, and as
those are a competitive three stats, Kelly, that are not great to be proud of. I mean, none of that is.
No, there's nothing wrong with any of those. By the way, where was the 77? Where was that?
I shot 77 and 78 2 days in a row at New Orleans Country Club. And it's a long time ago. And I've sniffed around it a couple times, but I remember, you know, kind of made everything and I don't hit it very far or straight. And so it's a great combination.
Well, what's Weymouth? So then if it's not anything to be proud of, what's holding you back from 74, 73?
Just probably
talent?
Attitude. yeah, really. My playing partners. Probably getting on, you know, long par fours are probably what's holding me back.
Yeah, right.
You know, I love to play. You know, I counted up how many times I played. I feel like I play more than 30. I guess I'll sneak out and go play 9 holes a lot and maybe not play the hole or just jump in a cart at 4 and go, you know, whip around and go play 12 holes and stuff. Maybe not the formal, you know, but it's always kind of funny because, you know, I don't hit it very far and, you know, whatever, you know, I shoot my 80, high 80 something. But people always ask, we're sitting around, how many, have you ever had a hole in one? And everybody, oh yeah, I had one. And they go, Cooper, have you ever had one? And I say, I've had 3. And they all go, really? Like, how did you have 3 hole? I go, I don't know. I mean, I agree. It's very odd, but anyway, it's kind of funny.
Right. Of all people, you're you, right. Right?
How dare you even say that, you know, so.
How did golf come into your life and what was it something your dad played?
Yeah.
A little background on that.
My dad loves golf. He had a standing golf game with a bunch of characters in New Orleans during the week. Yeah. And then when we were growing up, he would sneak out and try to play early, you know, Saturday morning, Sunday morning before all our games, et cetera. But he loved to he loved the range. He loves, you know, chipping. And he always had a net in his backyard. He would just go out there and just bang balls. You know, I can always remember going on summer trips down to, you know, Florida, down to Destin. You know, he would get up early and go play. And then, you know, the rest of the day throwing us around in the pool and what have you. So, you know, it was funny, though, in the early 80s, et cetera, it didn't seem like the country club scene was very inviting for young ones. You know, it wasn't like they had the little kids camps like they do. They got more stuff going on for women and young kids than they do for the regular guys. It's great. They're trying to get, you know, open the game. So we were always kind of like, get out of here, go to the, you know, just get out of here. And maybe later at 6, we'll ride you around a little, play a couple holes. So, and then we would go up to, my mother was from a small town in Mississippi, Philadelphia, Mississippi, and they had a 9-hole golf course there in Philadelphia, Philly Country Club and PCC. And I would go play when I would go up there to see my grandparents and run around and play that 9 holes again with my uncles or grandfather and stuff, but really didn't get into it until college. We were always playing other sports. It was kind of hard to spend a lot of time, football, baseball, basketball, stuff. So by the time you get to college, it was like, all right, you get some time, you know, go get an ice chest and go drink a few. And then, I love it. It's kind of selfishly, it's the best place for me to see my brothers. And it's kind of a, and no one's you know, bothering them, taking pictures or asking for autographs. It's kind of their, you know, sacred space too.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering, when's the last time the three of you or the four of you, including your dad, played a round of golf together?
Yeah, Archie's a little beat up right now. He's not playing as much, but he likes to, even when we're going to play, I'll go, Dad, I'm going to sneak out and play. He'll come out there, ride around, smoke a cigar and putt and hang out. You know, we, truthfully, you know, that's kind of a, you know, we were all together up in Denver early this fall out of Cherry Hills. Peyton had an event out there. What a great, what an unbelievable golf course. And it's fun. We will, and all right, and then, you know, kind of mix it up. Not necessarily all four of us, but, you know, Peyton will say, hey, let's go. I'm going to so-and-so. You want to go? And I go, and Eli can't go, and I go. You know, we kind of mix it up, but it's kind of the invitation where you have to better have a good excuse not to come, because that's kind of fun for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was head of communications for the PGA of America for a while, and we always stress the different boxes that you could check off when it came to golf. Yes, it could be competitive. Yes, it could be you just want to be outside and enjoy nature. Yes, it could be family. I think to me, you know, growing up in a golf environment, Cooper, that's what makes, in my opinion, golf the best, because it has all those boxes that you can check. And you can go out and play nine holes with your remembering the time with your grandparents, play with your or go out and you want, Brian Baumgartner doesn't want to lose that $5, right? Because it's the competitive side. It, to me, it's the coolest game that way.
One other thing that I think is interesting about golf is you can play, especially if you're walking 18 holes. You walk 18 holes with someone, it could be 25 years ago, and you kind of have that bond. It's almost like, you know, you stayed at my house when in college. Like, and I'll run into people, especially even caddies. You know, I caddied for you at Oakmont 22 years ago. I go, I remember. I mean, it was a great. He goes, and you get, you know, and I'm like, it just kind of has that. It brings you back. So anytime you are, and especially for business, I've been fortunate enough to play a lot of golf, you know, on the road in neat cities because you had clients. And what a great way to spend 4 hours with someone who is doing what you want to be doing. You're both enjoying yourselves. You're kind of in the same boat. You're kind of grinding it out there and having fun. And then, you know, what a common bond, and to be able to always have that, like, hey, I'm coming to town. You want to sneak out and go play golf? He's like, you know, yeah, you know, and you're kind of in the same boat. I tell my boys, my youngest son is at University of Texas. He's got the golf bug right now. I'm like, Hyde, if you know, can be a 10 handicap, you're going to make more money doing that than you will be doing anything else, just because you're going to be able to run with all these great people and just have that common thread with people. It'll be a great, you know, a great source of fun and hopefully compensation for you down the road.
I had no question about it. And you mentioned about having clients. I wonder, Coop, just speak a little bit to your full-time job. I mean, you're having a lot of fun doing these other things, but that's not your full-time gig.
No. I work for a firm called AJ Capital. We're a real estate development firm. It's really a private equity firm, and we do a lot of neat things. We're big in Nashville, Tennessee right now. Got a big development in Bellmead, which is a kind of the highbrow part of Nashville, and we're developing these high-end residences as well as all this high-end retail. So think of the Highland Park Village in Dallas. We're putting that in Nashville right now. It's our biggest development. We've done the Graduate Hotel along great college towns. And so, yeah, it's fun, but you get to meet a lot of people who love golf and commonalities. And prior to that, I was in the kind of the investment banking world. So you get financial people, they love to play golf. So you get to, you know, it's fun to get to play golf with, you know, with neat people and great stories. And I've been lucky to, you know, play with a lot of folks.
Hey, before we continue talking, I want to talk about the Manning Hour and some other things. But I know the story of you after your what really was a terrific high school senior season at Isadore Newman School in New Orleans. And then you accepted a scholarship to play at Mississippi. But then if you would just kind of remind our audience, Coop, what happened as practices began just before that freshman year?
Yeah, I graduated from high school, went up to Ole Miss and was a wide receiver and, you know, going through 2-a-days and the whole thing. And I'd started feeling kind of this like numbness in my fingers, and my right hand started getting weaker. And as a receiver, you start noticing, you know, hey, I'm not catching as well. And I was always a quarterback and wasn't throwing as well. And so I went off to some hospital, you know, the Baylor Clinic, went up to the Mayo Clinic, actually, where and they said, it's not, you know, I thought it was coming from my elbow or something. It's really coming from your neck. And you have what's called spinal stenosis. So most people have a spinal cord that kind of looks like this, and you have all this room around it. Mine was kind of squeezing, and they said, this is not good for contact sports. You're not going to be allowed to play football anymore. And I had to have a procedure there and you know, just kind of. So right when it was getting cranked up as a freshman in college, all you're living in the athletic dorm, all your buddies on the football team, you know, all of a sudden they go, football's no longer. So a little bit
what
of
it like.
Yeah.
What was that like, man?
You know, that was a curveball just because I didn't quite know what to do next. I remember, you know, going to practice still and like running and just hanging out. And those were kind of my people. And then I had a couple older guys, some 50-year guys come over and say, what are you doing over here, buddy? You ought to, man, there's so much more of college than going to football practice. You ought to run the streets and go join a fraternity you know, having fun and going to different college towns. And I said, maybe you're right. I don't think I ever went to practice ever again after that sort of pep talk. And so now I'm good. I've had a couple, you know, I've had a couple surgeries to kind of secure things, but yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
And Peyton, it's my understanding, decided to wear your number. Is that correct? In honor of you when he became a professional?
Yeah, I think it, you know, I've always had a little bit of a grass is green right where I am, a kind of a sunny disposition. Peyton's a little more intense. And I think that seeing me not be able to play football rocked him a little bit. And I think it made him probably appreciate how, you know, fragile football can be. I mean, it's, you know, you're one play away from it ending. So yeah, he was, you know, we back in the days of writing letters, you know, we wrote letters and yeah, he switched to my number. And then Eli eventually wore 18 as well at Newman, and the number's now retired. And yeah, I've got great brothers.
No, you do. There's no question. I'm so pleased to be joined by Cooper Manning, the host of the Manning Hour on Fox Sports here on Musings on Golf. Okay, so I watched one the other night. It was the interview you did with Von Miller, and you were in a cafe, and you pretended to be his waiter, and he looks up and he's shocked that you're waiting on him. And I loved your retort, and it was, "Hey Von, it's my off season gig. Spanx aren't as cheap as they used to be." Where did the whole thing with the Manning Hour come to be? And by the way, your dry sense of humor is, dude, I love it.
Well, thank you. The Manning Hour, yes, we're in our, we just finished our 11th year of the Manning.
Yeah, great.
Kelly, for the top brass at Fox to find anything I do remotely entertaining is, you know, thrilling and surprising all rolled into one. Yeah. You know, I've always just been on the mic and kind of done things, especially down at the Manning Passing Academy. And I used to go interview people. We'd cut it up and make it kind of a fun little segment. And the late, great Chris Mortensen, who was down there, always came to the MPA, goes, "Coop, you ought to go talk to ESPN and maybe Fox and see if you could do this full time." I'm like, "Really? Yeah, I'll help you line it up." And he did. I flew up to Bristol, talked to those folks, and then talked to the main guy at Fox and said, "Look, I think I can go interview players, do some funny stuff, and kind of show a side of them that you might not see. I think it might be kind of entertaining." They're like, "What would you do?" I go, "I don't know. I'll wing it." And so Fox, Jamie Horowitz is at Fox, and he had kind of another guy who I have a little bit of a, you know, I could press that button and make him laugh. And I had him laughing. "I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to do something." And so he took a shot and rolled the dice. And I just started getting players, good players. I wanted to get some good ones early. You know, I had Drew Brees early and Odell and Cam Newton. I wanted some big name guys. So when I needed just a regular guy, I could say, "Hey, these guys did it." And Fox was great. They helped me identify players in the NFL that had maybe a talent or had a great personality, or someone who could sing, or someone who was a magician, or someone who liked to juggle, or someone who did something. So when I asked them to do it, they were excited about it. I didn't want anybody who was like, "What am I doing here?" I wanted people who want to be on this show, who want to show another side of them. And we've done, golly, I bet we've done close to 200 of them. and all nonsensical, stupid, lighthearted. We kind of have a loose script, and then whatever comes out of my mouth, they have to cut a lot of it. And, you know, it's the Manning Hour. It's only 120 seconds. So there a lot of quality footage is hitting the floor.
Well, the nonsensical, I like that. There's another one you did with Falcon safety, Justin Simmons, and you're his caddy and you're tossing up grass. And he looks at you and says, dude, we're in a simulator.
Henry's a good sport. Yeah. We found out he loves golf. He's got the golf bug. So
there you go.
Did that. Right. I love looking at Greg Olson announcing these games on Fox. And, you know, we got a couples massage together one day, you know, we both have our towel, you know, up in our hair. I mean, so those guys all don't take themselves so seriously, nor does the Manning Hour. And it's a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to year 12.
You mentioned about going with Kenny Mayne and Brian Baumgartner over to Scotland. But I've got to imagine the golf buddies trip you took with your brothers in 2022, that was a separate deal. That was tied in with the Open Championship.
I was looking at this right here. I found the picture right here.
Yeah.
And we had an absolute great time.
Right.
You know, Eric Church came, Peyton Eli, Ben Wepren. We had the best time. If you can, you know, get on a lucky enough to go on a golf trip with eight guys and everybody gets along and has fun, and we would go play golf in the morning and then go watch the Open Championship, you know, the 150th at the Russex Hotel, the Russex Hotel,
right there on the 18th,
yeah. And so, selfishly, that's my firm, AJ Capital. We bought that hotel and renovated it. And I've done several other hotels over in the UK. And so we were on a mission to go look at all our hotels and play a lot of golf and have a lot of fun.
You describe that, though. I mean, that seems like the trip of a lifetime in a lot of ways, golf-wise.
I agree. I'm a little, you know, I've gotten, you know, as you turn past 50, golf trips are, it's more like, you don't even ask where we're going. It's like, who's going? You know, you want to be around your guy. And function,
yes, you do.
Better, you know, think like you do. And that's kind of everything. I think that's how I am. I'll go play the worst golf course in the world with good people. I'd rather not. I don't want to go play Baltusrol with four, you know, three duds. Nope. They'll think you can have it. I never even play. So, and when you get, I took a trip, even before that, my dad and Peyton and Eli, I took a foursome, us four, over to Scotland and play a lot of those golf trips, which was the best golf trip, you know, ever, to have Archie over there. You know,
Cooper, you also realize how much golf is a part of the fabric, certainly in Scotland. We love golf here, but it's at another level.
100%. And that takes a little while. It doesn't take a lot to figure out, but there's some layers to it. It's every single person. It would be like always walking into Lambeau Field and saying, you know, y'all play football here. And then just, you never had to leave. That's what Scotland is like when it comes to golf. And so I love, you know, North Berwick and going to Muirfield and meeting fun people and, having a drink with someone, some stranger. Next thing you know, you've had five of them and you're hugging and, you know, keeping in touch. It's just, it's great. It's great.
That's how the game connects. Coop, I'm a big fan. The show Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Ooh.
Know you had an opportunity to play a round of golf with Larry David. Please tell it. Where did you play? How did it happen? And what's it like playing golf and being around Larry David?
Hey, Peyton and Larry have become, Peyton's a huge Curb guy, and therefore, and he and Larry go down to Mexico and got to know each other. And he's been trying to get him on the Manning Cast. I don't know if it's happened or not. He's worked way too hard, Peyton, trying to get Larry on. But we were over in Cherry Hills, and we played a little practice round, and it was a great, great foursome. It was Harris Barton, Jay Billis, Larry David, and Coopy here. And
Harris Barton, the old 49er,
right? Real 49er, which he's one of the greatest, you know, just
yeah,
a fun guy, and you know, alignment, and you just count on him, you know, just
yeah, right.
And Jay's witty and a good player in basketball. And so Larry, we're going to play a practice round. And Larry, on hole one, before we even tee off, says, "I'm only playing nine. I'm only playing nine. I can't play 18. He's exactly like you think he'd be. But I do,
yeah.
You know, on number one, he drove the ball well. He hits a good drive, and he's hitting in a short par four. And he hits a shot up there. It looks pretty good. And it kind of hits the top of the bunker and rolls back in. It looks like it's going to go in. And he yelled, "No, no, no." Like as if his house was burning down. I'm like, looking around, I'm like, this is a practice round on number one. And Jay has just got this smirk, like, "Oh, this is what we're in for." And I think he played in a tournament. I think he quit on hole 12 in the tournament and just left. He said he'll never play in a tournament again. So just like you think, he's
just a lot of fun.
He's fine. He's actually, it's almost better if you could ask him questions that you know he doesn't like that. You got to almost chum it, you know, like, you know, the Jets had a good season, and he'll just, you know, he's a big Jets fan. Just start there and just let him get going.
Just a little dig, right? Yeah, just stuff, throw it out there.
You gotta lead him to the topic. But he's obviously a brilliant guy, and I'm a big fan. I was nice of Peyton to let me be paired up with him.
We're winding down with our time with Cooper Manning here on Musings on Golf. Okay, three golf questions to close, Coop. Okay. From a golf standpoint, who's the best player of the three of you, of your brothers?
You know, I'm the worst. I would say Peyton and Eli can kind of get back and forth, kind of who's playing a lot. Eli, when he retired, it aligned up with COVID, and he had to stay inside, and he got a simulator at the same time. Mm. And he was like, I'm playing Carnoustie today and shot 77. I'm like, really? So I think he got down to kind of a low single digit, but reality has set in, and so have four children. So he's kind of back up, but they battle out. And if I can make a few putts, I can win a little money. But we, you know, none of us are going anywhere, you know, more than just fun golf with pals.
Are your personalities on the golf course, are they similar? Are they different? If I went and played with the three of you, what would I come away from you know, the time I spent with each of you over those 4 hours?
Well, our personalities are very different. It's kind of bizarre that we all have the same parents. You know, Peyton is organized, intense, but a great host, wonderful host. If he's in charge of you, I mean, it's organized, he's engaging, he's a great storyteller, he loves to tell things and keep you engaged. Eli probably doesn't even know, you know, where we're playing. He's like kind of like easy. He'll lift, he's 150, just delightful, enjoyable, doesn't get mad. He likes when you screw up. He loves to kind of, if you hit a bad shot, that kind of gets in him, and he'll be kind of critical. And then I'm just trying to, you know, get out of there without paying, you know?
It's the most important. Exactly. Hey, you guys have been so identifiable with football, but I'm wondering what, if you could sort of say what golf has meant to you, your brothers, your dad, your family, how would you put that in words?
You know, I think we all have, I've been fortunate. When you play sports, you remember the game. Certainly, you probably remember the losses worse, but the most important part of sports is the relationships.
Yes.
And I have been lucky to cultivate relationships more through golf than any other sport. And I feel confident that my brothers feel the same way. I mean, they have great relationships with guys in the locker room, but they've played with a lot of other people that have been, you know, really, really, you know, important parts of their lives. That golf is where that's really coming to play. And you know, the stories, so many great stories that happened. You know, my dad played a lot of golf growing up, a lot of pro-ams. You know, I got great pictures of him with Tom Watson in 74 and Jack Nicklaus and, you know, Trevino and, you know, and even like other players. Like there's, you know, a great picture of my dad with long hair and you know, a gold chain with Joe Namath right there in the boat.
Wow.
You know, golf clubs right there, just quality stuff. So I think they had a lot of tournaments like that. So when you can ask, you know, we're sitting there and all of a sudden I say, Dad, what was Roman Gabriel like? What was Merlin Olsen like? Oh, I played golf with him at American Airlines deal they used to have down in Mexico. You know, that stuff is great. And so I'm going on a trip next week to New Zealand. Never been, with seven guys that I met in the last two or three years from Austin, Texas. Never met them, any of them. And now I probably was the 10th or 11th invite, but it whittled it down to eight. So I made the cut. But I like that. I know a lot of them, don't know some of them. And, you know, I'm going and it's going to be great.
You know, it relationship, it's the word. I agree with that. I was in Scotland last year and played with some buddies, and Mark Calcavecchia, who's actually been a co-host on my podcast once. Mark just happened to be over there with seven other buddies. And we kind of ran into one another at a course and we were waiting. And I knew Mark a little bit, Coop. And I just said to him, I said, Mark, would you mind coming up to the bus here and talking with my buddies? Now, some people, Cooper Manning, might say, you know, I got to go. No, he came on the bus for the next 15, 20 minutes, held court, answered questions. And for those guys he was with, that made their day, man. That was so cool. So that relationships thing is so true. I think it comes out in many ways, but just that the time that you give, as you talked about, of somebody who caddied for you 20 years ago, you just don't forget those things when it comes to golf.
I agree. And, you know, I think a lot of these golfers, you know, they spend so much time by themselves and working and grinding. So sometimes that's not easy for them to be as social, you know, and when they are, you know, you're just so in awe of their talent. So when obviously they're gifted and they can do things you can't even think about, but when they're good guys too, they get a lot more credit. And I think that's the way, you know, that's all that matters.
Yeah. My final question, one that I ask at the end of every one of my interviews, and I'm sort of guessing who your three would be, but if you could play to kind of round out a dream foursome, if you could play with three other individuals, whether they're living or deceased, who would those three be and where would you go play?
That's a great question. You know, I guess obviously the quick one would be Peyton Eli, my dad. You know what I would do? There's, you know, I always was kind of in awe of my dad's heroes, you know. My dad, he kind of choked up. And my dad loved Mickey Mantle, you know. So I think to go play golf with, you know, with Archie and Mickey Mantle, you know, it would be kind of a neat thing. You always hear these great stories about the Mick, you know, just what a everybody just, you know, I mean, Bob Costas carried a baseball card with Mickey Mantle his whole life. I mean, that kind of thing, and stories of him at Preston Trail. And then I think I'd love to walk around and listen to Lee Trevino talk and just ham it up, you know. Therefore, I wouldn't have to carry anything. I could just sit back and just laugh. That sort of foursome would be a kick. I think Archie would have a blast. And if, you know, whenever you're around, as you know, when you're around your parents or grandparents, whatever, you can get your parents laughing, it's the best. And so I know he would get a kick out of that. There's only so many surprises left. That would be a good one.
So Mickey Mantle, Trevino, and your dad?
I know Peyton Eli would want to hear about that. Tell me about that. I said,
well, that would also, for you, you could just throw out questions and then you just listen the whole time, right?
You know, I would be in the way. I would stick Peyton and Eli in my bag and just, come on, boys, y'all just stick your ear out of the hole and let's see if we can, you know, learn something here.
And where would you go play? I don't think Mr. Trevino would want to go to Augusta National, so I wouldn't say Augusta National. Where would you go play?
Oh, I think, I mean, probably the home course of Mickey in Commerce, Oklahoma, somewhere just, you know, just dust and line drives, you know, and cold beer. That'd be the best.
Cooper Manning, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for your time. I know you're going to have a great time in New Zealand. How are you gone for a week or 10 days? What are you doing?
No, we're going for a week. I mean, you kind of play four or five times. You know, you lose an hour, or lose a day going over there. So, play 4 or 5 days. That's plenty for me. We're not, and I'm also with a group. It's not, you know, hey, we're going to jam 54 holes in today. This is a leisure group. Hey, we're going to play at 10:30. We're going to have a nice, you know, we're going to walk around. We're going to have a nap. We're going to have some fun dinners, you know, so it's kind of at a gentleman's pace.
Yeah, that was the thing. When I went over with my buddies in Scotland last year, we had those tea times like 10:30, 11, and everybody was up for breakfast at 7:30. And I was like, well, no, I don't need that. I'm gonna get a little nap in here, right? I mean, you go at your own pace on those trips, man.
I can nap in the front yard and be asleep at 5 minutes if I had to. I could be on the street. Yeah, you know, anywhere I can nap. I barely make my flights. I take a little siesta before I get on. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna have a good time, and I'll give you a full report.
Please do, Cooper. Man, it's been a real treat. Thanks so much for being with us here on Musings on Golf.
Thanks, Kelly. Really enjoyed it.
America, this is your moment. Liam and Harry's limited edition spirit shoe is here, so every fan can feel like part Team USA from the first tee to the final putt. Two head-turning designs, premium deerskin, 100% waterproof with spikeless grip and all-day comfort. Limited run, don't sit this one out. Pre-buy now at williamandharry.com. Get into spirit, get into comfort.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee, more control with your irons, more spin with your wedges, and more opportunity to shoot your lowest score.
Golf is more than your scorecard, the brand of clubs you play, or the clothes you wear. Golf is a journey where every round is a memory, filled with friends old and new. The Friars Golf Club is where those lifelong friendships are made, on the first tee, in the 19th hole, and far beyond. Exclusive trips, unforgettable rounds, and the very best people. Indeed, great courses are simply better with great company. So join the Friars today. To learn more, email us at info@thefriars.com and put the word musings in the subject line to receive a $500 trip credit when you join. So we invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience at the Friars Golf Club. Well, we thank Cooper Manning very much. As I said going in, a lot of fun. Hope you all enjoyed that interview, and wish Cooper all the best to his many, many media opportunities that he's taking advantage of, as well as his day-to-day job. Okay, big week on the PGA Tour this week with the return of Brooks Koepka. Would not have seen this coming maybe, you know, 2-3 months ago, but it happened fast. He decided to live golf, and the press conference that he had earlier today, Koepka, you know, he was fairly open in terms of the influence of his family helping him make his decision to return to the PGA Tour. And Koepka, as you'll hear in this clip, you know, he talked about the fact that, you know, he's not eligible for these signature events. He's not necessarily starting from scratch, but he sounds very enthusiastic as he gets ready to tee it up this week at the Farmers Insurance Open.
I love the grind. I've always enjoyed it. I guess it's a fresh start for me, which is cool. It's just another chapter, I guess, in my book, and I'm excited for that. I feel like my game's in pretty good shape, but I want to see where it's at. Obviously, this week it's a little bit different. But, yeah, I would just like to get this week over and just feel like I can start playing golf again, but I'm super excited.
PGA Tour did something very interesting because they welcomed Brooks back, although with some financial penalties that he paid. The field this week is 145 players, so he's taking anybody's spot this week. Typically for the Farmers Insurance Open, it would have been 144 players, but they simply added Brooks is the 145th. And it really interesting decision. It shows you how significant this is for golf at ESPN, which has not covered a PGA Tour event outside of you know, the rounds that they cover of the Masters and the PGA Championship and so forth. It's been 20 years since ESPN has covered the first two rounds of a PGA Tour event. Sure enough, they will be there for early coverage on Thursday and Friday. Certainly we'll have Koepka as a big part of that. Temecula Field there at Torrey Pines. Koepka's going to be paired with two past winners of the event, Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg. Åberg is the defending champion. Strong lineup. J.J. Spahn, Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose, Jason Day, Chris Goddard, Keegan Bradley, and Adam Scott, as well as Patrick Cantlay. So PGA Tour really gets going, I think, in a lot of ways this week. One name that you don't hear this week is Scottie Scheffler. He is taking the week off. What a start for Scheffler. And by winning at the American Express in Palm Springs over the weekend, becomes the third fastest to get to 20 wins. Tiger Woods holds the record for the fastest in the history of the PGA Tour to get to 20. Only took Tiger 95 tournaments to get there. Jack Nicklaus, 127. This was Scottie Scheffler's 151st PGA Tour appearance to get to his 20th win. And as you hear from this clip, Scheffler talks a lot about just being healthy, had a little injury going into the 2025 season, but he was healthy in his preparation, and boy, did it ever show over his four rounds in Palm Springs.
It is different just because I had made what I felt was so much progress in the offseason, then to have that basically taken away by, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of, you know, inactivity from golf, you know, that has an effect. You know, to fine tune the skills that we have out here takes a lot of work. I mean, there's a, like the chipping, like there's a big difference between hitting a chip to a foot versus 5 feet. You know, if I hit it to a foot, I'm probably never going to miss that foot putt. But if you hit it to 5 feet, you know, that's your percentages of making that putt go down. And when you just kind of see that over the course of 4 days, you know, that has an effect on where my game is at. And so being able to have the whole offseason to prepare to come out here, you know, I did take a nice break at the end of the year, but to have that time to prepare and get my body and mind right in order to compete, I think really paid off, you know, early in the season.
Yeah, I guess it did. A well-prepared Scottie Scheffler means that the rest of the PGA Tour is going to really have to ramp up. Well, so much excitement for Scottie Scheffler, but the bigger story certainly over the 3 days at the American Express was Blaze Brown. Not even 19 years old, young man from Tennessee who had played in a Korn Ferry Tour event in the Bahamas, and then he redeemed a voucher that he had won at a PGA Tour event in the fall that enabled him to utilize a private jet that flew him across the country, that got him to Palm Springs the night before, hadn't played any of the three courses. That's the thing as well that was so impressive with this kid. Playing three different golf courses, hadn't played any of them, and just shot after shot was among the leaders going into the final round. And I just think he kind of petered out on Sunday. Can't blame him one bit. Shot 74. He needed to finish in the top 10 to get into the Farmers this week. And with a double bogey early on and a couple of bogeys coming in on Sunday, he finished tied for 19th. But, you know, I wasn't really crazy about this kid skipping college, which he did. But he's got that. He's got something about him. He may have that it factor. He's got, you know, a confident way about him. Won a golf swing, and he's clearly only going to get a lot better. So kudos to Blaze Brown. Final note here, the passing of John Brody. I was really sad to hear about the passing of John Brody. For those of you who may not remember, John Brody was a fabulous NFL quarterback, 17 seasons with the San Francisco 49ers. And then John, after he retired, became a broadcaster, and he became a regular on what was then known as the Senior PGA Tour. Today it's known as the PGA Tour Champions. In fact, he won one time on the Senior PGA Tour, 12 top 10 finishes. And John was also an outstanding broadcaster for both NFL games. He, along with Kurt Gowdy, he called the Super Bowl 1 year. And then he did a lot of broadcasting work for NBC for their coverage of the PGA Tour. John Brody also holds an interesting record. He played in the U.S. Open in 1959, And then he played in the U.S. Open again in 1981. Didn't make the cut in either, but he holds the record for the longest time appearing in a U.S. Open. So rest in peace, John Brody, at age 90. You will be missed. Wonderful life that you led. Thank you again for joining us here on Music is on Golf. Thanks again to Cooper Manning. A lot of fun. Going to be most interesting to see what happens this week with Brooks Koepka as he rejoins the PGA Tour at the Farmers Insurance. Thanks again for joining us. For Jenna Self, I'm Kelly Elbin. Stay warm and keep on listening to Musings on Golf.